So Zacchaeus has been mentioned a couple of times over the last couple of sermons, and when Brother Roger was here, he mentioned to me out there in the hallway, we were talking about Zacchaeus, and he made a comment that the song that we all know very well describes Zacchaeus as a wee little man. And he made that comment about himself a couple of times, and Roger's good about his height, and I have no room to talk. I'm not very tall myself. So he just made the comment that the song we know Zacchaeus from is references him as a wee little man, and that's just not very nice. But the scripture says he's of small stature, so we know he was a short person. However, that's not what we're going to focus on today. Zacchaeus was a man with everything at this time, yet he was a man with nothing when you really think about it. That is until Jesus impacted his life and he was able to have an encounter with him. So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. There are people we find in the New Testament that they encounter Jesus, and those encounters change their lives completely, turn them around. So we're going to look at one, focusing on Zacchaeus today. These people were able to come into a new life. Now we use that term new life as a salvation. So they came into a new life through Jesus. It's interesting to note, though, that not everybody who came into contact with Jesus came into this new life. They didn't have a positive change. We think of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, and then there are others, but there are many that did not have a good experience when they encountered and came across Jesus. Today, we look at Zacchaeus and how his life was changed for the better. Turn over to Luke chapter 19. We are going to, for the most part, stay in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We will go to Matthew here in just a little bit, but for the most part, we're going to stay in Luke. So you can put your ribbon marker there if you'd like. We're going to start with the first four verses of Luke chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So looking at verse 1. We see here, we're going to get a little background on Zacchaeus first. So a person, this first part, I want you to keep in mind of someone seeking hope. So the text offers some warning signs we see here pertaining to Zacchaeus. Things that we can see that he may have some obstacles that he might have to face in his life. We think of tax collectors, IRS collectors. When anyone mentions the IRS or you may have to be audited, we really don't get warm, fuzzy feelings. Now, that doesn't mean that they're bad people. It's just what society has labeled them as bad people because of the job they do. But we really don't think of good, fuzzy, warm feelings when we think of the IRS or a tax collector. So, nonetheless, you know, Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He is not a collector of the temple taxes. It's an official representative of Roman government. He is there on behalf of the government to collect taxes that they had set up here, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. To make matters worse, Zacchaeus is a Jew, so he is collecting taxes for the Roman government from the nation of Israel. So he's probably not looked upon very highly right now. Romans would give a defeated country a great deal of latitude should they pay and keep up on they're paid taxes, so they could use that money for what they wanted. So this was an important job for these tax collectors, was to keep the money coming in. To make matters worse, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So he was the boss of the tax collectors in this area. So he probably got the brunt of the blame when it came to, you know, why are you doing this? And if the tax collectors didn't want to take the heat, they'd just say, well, my boss told me to. We've heard that before, haven't we? We don't want to take the responsibility for it, so we just push off on somebody else. But Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. He oversaw all these other tax collectors and their duties to collect these fees from the nation of Israel. So Romans demanded a certain amount of taxes depending on what area or territory you lived in, and you paid according to that amount that you were given. These tax collectors were given a portion of what was above that amount as a commission or shipping and handling fees, I guess you could say, but that's where they could make their money or more money. The problem with this is there was probably a great deal of dishonesty when it came to this, because you could just collect whatever you wanted to, and then anything extra you kept. And so they had a very bad reputation. This was not something that most people strived to do or to be. So this practice was not thought very highly of at this time. But Zacchaeus was a man who he would have been despised for the job and even by his own people because of what he was doing. Even though he might have been honest, his job title would not have lent him a very good reputation. So, red flag number one, Zacchaeus probably felt alone. He probably didn't feel like he had a lot of acceptance, probably felt rejected just because of his duties, his job responsibilities. Now, if we look at verse 2 there in Luke chapter 19, it says, "Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. He was rich." Red flag number 2. We know what the Bible says about rich men. But being rich is not a crime. I want to really stress that. That is not the problem here. Being rich is not a crime. But Jesus spoke a lot about this, that it could inhibit one's ability to come into God because they don't feel the need that they need God. Turn back to Matthew chapter 19. It's the one time we're going to get away from Luke. Turn back to Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 16 through 30. We're going to see a rich man refuses Jesus here. Matthew 19, starting there in verse 16. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth, but what do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.' Then Peter answered and said to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?' So Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first.'" This rich man couldn't part with his belongings. It was too hard for him. Now, keep in mind, Jesus didn't say it was impossible for a rich man to make it into heaven. He said it would be hard. Zacchaeus is going to be a different example here. Imagine living a life and in a location where you are despised and forsaken. Why in the world would anyone want a job like that? Why would they want a job of being a tax collector for the Roman government at this time? What's driving them to get this position, to want to do this job, where you know you're probably not going to be liked by very few, if any, people? Money. what drives us today to take some of those positions? Money. Right? Zacchaeus most likely gained a great deal of his wealth doing this job. If you have money, you have everything, right? That's what the world thinks. But money can buy you medicine, but can't buy you health. It can buy you a house, but not a home. It can buy you companionship, but not friends. It can buy you food, but not an appetite. And it can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can also buy you the good life, but it can't buy you eternal life. Zacchaeus, who had it all, yet had nothing. Now, do you know anybody in that boat? Do you know anybody that, don't say them out loud. Do you know anybody in the world today that you have come across that may fit that description? We probably all do. We've probably all been around someone at one time or another that fits that description. But money is not everything. So here is a man without hope, yet he finds out Jesus is in town. He knows that there's this man coming along that people have prophesied that he's the Savior, and he knows he's in town, so maybe he can find what he's looking for if he can just encounter Jesus. Maybe Zacchaeus can find this hope that he's striving to find here. Many came to Jesus to see if he would perform a miracle. They wanted to be healed. We see that right before Jesus gets to Zacchaeus, he heals the blind man. And he simply asks him, what do you want? And the blind man tells him, I want my sight back. So Jesus gives it to him. I can't speak on behalf of the blind man. If I didn't have my sight, maybe that's what would be on my mind. But Jesus gave him what he asked for. Maybe that's not the best thing to ask for, especially if you got your Lord and Savior standing in front of you, but he gave him what he asked for. But now Jesus is going to come upon Zacchaeus. But why did Zacchaeus seek Jesus? I think for that hope. I think he was seeking for the hope that he didn't have. He didn't have any of that. He was probably left alone and rejected, and he was seeking and looking for hope. Verse 3 tells us, he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He sought to see. When you look at that word sought, and that's coming from the New King James Version. There are other words that are used in other scriptures. Seek also denotes to investigate or to actively pursue. We're seeking. We want to see. Zacchaeus was searching for hope. Searching for hope. He knows the route that Jesus has taken. He's already tried to see him and he couldn't. So he knows which direction he's going. So what's he do? He runs ahead and climbs a tree, probably hoping to reach a low-hanging branch because we know he wasn't very tall. He's going to have to get up there somehow. Maybe somebody helped him get up there, but he'd have to find a tree that he had a branch he could get up. But Zacchaeus is now going to climb a tree. He's up in this tree. Imagine, here comes Jesus, you're in a tree wanting to see him, okay? Let's go to verses 5 through 7 in Luke chapter 19. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and perceived him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. How many things in our life do we place our hope in or look to for hope, yet what we're seeking pays no attention to us? What about a job that you actively sought after, hoped to get, and then didn't get it? What about a bank account you placed your hope in and it said it never knew you? That's... Okay, we place our hope in so many things that just can't bring us the answers we need, the security we need. Some place their hope in fame and fortune, yet fame and fortune will never give them the time of day. Some place their hope in having stuff, just stuff. I have a lot of stuff, so I have something. Yet, what happens when we strive to just have stuff? We want more stuff. We're never satisfied. This is not the hope that needs to be within us. Placing our hope in carnal things will only leave us hopeless. Zacchaeus may have placed his hope in a number of areas in the beginning. We can probably see that. But yet he was missing something. He didn't have everything. There was a hole inside of him. What could fill it? We're going to see. Now, I want you to really see this. I want to paint this picture. Zacchaeus was a grown man. He was looking to see Jesus, but he was a smaller stature man, but he was a grown man. Jesus is going to come upon him, a grown man, a rich man, in a tree. That just isn't the everyday visual that you would expect a grown man. What do you think Zacchaeus was thinking about everyone else seeing him in a tree? Because you know he was well known in this area. You have a tax collector. You have a grown man. You have a very rich man who is climbing trees. They'd have probably all thought he was out of his mind, right? But he was willing to do this. He didn't care what anybody else thought. He was willing to do this so he could see Jesus. He probably looked ridiculous sitting up in that tree, hoping that hope might finally take note of him. When this hope comes across him, he's hoping that he's been seen. He stands out. He did what he had to do to say, hey, here I am. I need you. He climbs this tree. But what is he expecting? I simply think he expected to see Jesus and find out a little bit more about him, see what he was about. Hear him speak. Hear him speak. But what do we often find in biblical hope? What do we often see? We see that true hope delivers beyond our own expectations, way beyond. As Jesus approaches this tree with Zacchaeus in it, he looks at Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, you come down. Now, I'm trying to imagine Jesus walking along here and he looks up and sees this grown man. You think he was like wagging his finger at him? Zacchaeus, you come down. Now, get down here. He says, make haste. Get down here. And then he says, I am coming to your house today. You think Zacchaeus was expecting that? Not at all. But he tells Zacchaeus, hurry down this tree because I need to stay at your house. Now, the New King James says here that I must stay at your house. Some translations say it's necessary. Depends on what Bible or version you're using. But he says, I must stay at your house. Jesus felt this was part of his mission. This was required for him. He had to stay with Zacchaeus. This statement obviously says that this was part of his mission, to go to Zacchaeus' home. So Zacchaeus hurries down, and when he says hurry down, it kind of tells you he was probably a ways up the tree. He wasn't just on the first limb, because he could have just jumped off, right? So he was a ways up there. He wanted to make sure he got a good visual of Jesus. But he tells him to hurry down from this tree, and Zacchaeus joyfully welcomes Jesus. Wonderfully says, yep, come on, let's go to my house. So he joyfully welcomes him. He doesn't say that, I'm paraphrasing. So think about what these people thought. At the last part of that, in verse 7, but when they saw it, they all complained. All these people saw that Jesus was going to Zacchaeus' house. And they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. So, remember what I said, what these people thought about tax collectors? And now, they see Jesus going with them, going to stay with the chief tax collector? They should have been happy for Zacchaeus. They should have. Imagine someone accepting the invitation. We offer the invitation after every service. Imagine someone accepting it. And then nobody being happy for them. Just unimaginable right? We just don't want to think about that. But they had already labeled Zacchaeus as a sinner. He was despised. But now what they thought, who they thought Jesus was, he was going to go stay with them. And they just didn't have very high hopes for Zacchaeus and very good thoughts. They should have been happy that Jesus was going to stay with them. But they couldn't bring themselves to do that. They couldn't be happy for Zacchaeus, who they had already labeled and described. So let me ask you, who is your Zacchaeus? Who is it that if Jesus were to go to their house instead of yours, that you would grumble? Maybe there isn't anybody. But if there is, maybe we need to think about Zacchaeus. Might I suggest that your Zacchaeus would be anyone that we would withhold the gospel of Christ from, that we're not willing to speak to and to teach and to show the way? That is our Zacchaeus. Now, more than likely, Jesus and the 12 and some others, we don't know, were in this home with Zacchaeus, in Zacchaeus' home. And so the timeline makes it sound like the things that we're about to read here happened before they went into the house. But I think when you look at a few words here, it's going to show that they were more than likely in Zacchaeus' house when this conversation comes up. So looking at verses 8 through 10, then Zacchaeus stood. Now that word stood would make you think he's not outside just walking to his house still. So they're probably in the home, probably waiting for a meal to be prepared or something, and they're talking, and Jesus is obviously not wasting any time. He's probably teaching at this moment. So it says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." So Jesus is more than likely teaching Zacchaeus the way that he should go, and Zacchaeus is responding. And when he stands up, I think he responds in a confident manner. He's like, "Look, Lord, I'll give half of my stuff. I'll do whatever it takes." And Jesus replies that salvation has come. Hope has arrived because he too is a son of Abraham. Now, this hope that is life-changing, that is the hope that Zacchaeus had. It's the hope that he received, was life-changing hope. Zacchaeus was moved with conviction to obey just from speaking with Jesus. And I say just at this time, I mean, he had a reputation, but we have everything to know what Jesus was about. And he looks at Jesus in probably utter amazement at some of the things that he has to do. He makes this proclamation, "I will do this." And then, what does he say? He says, "I will restore fourfold. If anyone accuses me of taking more than I was supposed to, I will give back four times as much." Zacchaeus is probably not going to make this comment if he doesn't have the ability to repay what commitment he has just given to Jesus. So the odds are he probably didn't do this at all, or at least very often. Didn't take more than what he was supposed to. All right, he would not have made this commitment. But giving half his possessions and then repaying fourfold to those who he may have taken more than he was supposed to is such a huge proclamation from someone of this stature at this time. But the money that he had placed his hope in didn't mean as much to him anymore. He's willing to give it up. He's willing to give it up. And then some. And then some. So now let's get to the good part. Remember when we talked about how, our motivation for what we do is more important. God knows our hearts. He knows our intentions. And we should never give in order to receive when doing God's will. And so I don't think Zacchaeus was making a deal here to say, I'll give this away in order to get salvation, because we don't have the right to make that deal. Jesus can. Zacchaeus had a true repentant heart here. He was genuine with what he had decided to do, what he was willing to accept. And there's deep respect for Zacchaeus, a tax collector at this time, for his decision that he made. Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house, he responds to Zacchaeus' repentance. He says, I'm willing to change. Have me, please. So the hope that Jesus offered motivated Zacchaeus to this new life-changing direction, a different state of mind, a different way of operating. The hole in Zacchaeus' heart was filled. He didn't need to search for the hope anymore. He had found it. And such an amazing story. So look at verse 10, the last verse in this lesson here. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hope for all, not just Zacchaeus. Hope for all. Jesus wants you to no longer be lost. He wants to spend eternity with you. This message of salvation that we read about it in Zacchaeus, with seeking this hope and seeking Jesus to save him, this message is for all. It's for all. Zacchaeus was a man without friends, a man without hope, a man wandering aimlessly in life. Jesus finds a purpose for him. Fulfillment, salvation. Ray has mentioned several times in his sermons that we are broken people, and that stuck with me. I agree with him. We are broken people. We all have a God-shaped hole within us that we are trying to fill. We're trying to put something there that will sustain us. The only thing that will fill that hole is Jesus Christ. That's it. And today we offer you that opportunity. We want you to become a child of God. We want you to have a full new life without any holes in it. We can't fill these spots on our own. We can't fill them with junk. We can't fill them with money. We can't fill them with even earthly friends. We can only fill that with our Lord and Savior. He's here to accept you. Just as he was willing to accept Zacchaeus, he's willing to accept us, broken, but willing to change. Are you ready for that change? Are you willing to make that change? The baptistry is ready. We are always offering this invitation. And if you leave here today, not right in the sight of God, and your life should come to an end before you get another opportunity, it's too late. So, thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. If there's any way we can help you, the invitation song has been selected. We invite you to come have a seat on the front pew, and we will assist you in any way we can. Please come forward while together we stand and while we sing.